A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in... Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the... tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and it's Friday, which means...
Hi.
This is This Week in Bachelor Nation. We're going to have Bachelor Nation news. We're going to have screams. We're going to have parasocial plays. We're going to have a new segment. Not a new segment, but one that we only do in the off season called What Are You Watching Today? Because the gains have basically dried up. There are no ratings to speak of, except we can speak about matchmaker ratings, I guess. We'll talk about that. In that segment.
If you insist, we can speak about it.
Oh, I insist. I insist. But we want to begin today's program with a couple of reminders. First of all, we're on YouTube. If you're just listening to this as a podcast, go to youtube.com. You might have heard of it. And look up Game of Roses. We are there. Every episode we do, all the free episodes anyway, are now on YouTube as well.
Video podcast, baby. The future. 2020 gore.
The future. Welcome to 2012. We are there now. But, you know, late to the party, but at the party nonetheless.
I would argue we're bringing it, but...
Oh, well, okay.
The party has now started.
That's possible. We should also mention that some people have told us via DM and messages on Etsy that some orders have been delayed of various hats and things in the merch shop. I think we found out what the problem is. I think those orders should be coming soon. Yes, apologies to everyone out there who's been experiencing some delay. But I think we have the problem solved. Also, we should mention that Clues Corner is popping off. Like I said, this is on our Patreon, of course. I am watching The Matchmaker starring Nicholas Viall and Patty Stanger as they make matches for, so far in the pilot, it's just been two reality people, Justin Glaze and Gigi from Shaws of Sunset. There'll be a new episode tonight as we record this Thursday. I will have that up on our Patreon by the time this episode is out.
Are they always new people they're coaching each episode, or are they bring people through?
I have no idea. If it's anything like Patty Stenger's old show, it's new people every episode. So what it looks like the format is going to be Patty kind of handles one player and Nick Vial handles one player, and they both kind of try to match them up. So far, in the pilot, unsuccessful.
Well, I am happy for you that you have this content. I love the way your eyes light up when you talk about it. I just know a Stanger thing is coming when you get that look. But I'm watching you watch Traitors season one right now in the corner. That's where I'm at.
Oh. And yes, and that's almost coming to its conclusion. And when it does, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do next. And it kind of leads us into our
Game of Roses. State of the game.
So it has come to my attention via mainly DM that the current season that just came out, I think yesterday on Netflix, of The Circle, that is another kinetic content show. The same people who bring you Love is Blind, Perfect Match, etc.
Very popular. Some of the contestants go on Perfect Match.
Yes. Well, one of the contestants will definitely not be going on to Perfect Match because that contestant, at least as I have been told, is an artificial intelligence. And that is what this state of the game is all about. Where are we as far as technology coming into reality shows, specifically dating reality shows? But The Circle is a little broader. It's not really dating. It's a game of dishonesty, I guess. What would you call The Circle?
Look, I tried to get into it. Season one, maybe I watched a few episodes. Yeah. I'm sure they've changed it somewhat, but it was basically, yeah, like people trying to get the most clout on a fake, tiny version of social media. And befriending people, and you don't know if the character is real or if someone is catfishing. And in this case, this is an option that I don't think any of the players are going to see coming. This one's an AI.
I'd see it coming. at this point, I'm shocked that it hasn't happened, that it's taken this long. There was also a show that came out, I believe it was a Spanish show, I want to say, that showed people fake videos made with deepfake or AI technology of their significant others making out with, engaged in physical kind of romance with other people. And they had to determine by watching the video if it was real or not. I didn't watch that show.
But wouldn't that be like, do I think my partner would cheat on me?
Essentially, yes.
But some of them were real?
I think so. I'm not sure. I didn't watch the show. I just heard tale of it.
Oh my God. Well, this, I feel like, begs the question, are we going to see anyone in our beloved game, any AI, enter our beloved game as a player?
Yes.
Like on The Circle.
Maybe not as a full player. And by the way, all of this was to say that I am going to probably be covering this, The Circle, at least one episode of it, to see how this AI is factoring in Clues Corner. And if I enjoy it, I'll continue. But I do have to see how they're utilizing the AI. And what is the AI? That's my big question. Is it just ChatGPT? Is it Claude? Is it Gemini? What AI are they using to manufacture this character?
We need more specifics. I mean, does that mean someone has to constantly be updating you, or it's just like they make it and then you just see what happens, even if it's going into a strange territory?
I don't know.
But they never see the other people, so.
Not until the end.
Presumably, they could pass as a person. Maybe it studies all the Circle seasons.
How would you do that? You could potentially upload transcripts of all the episodes of every season into an AI and say, this is what everyone said in every episode, but I don't know how that would inform the AI as far as like what to do.
I want to do that for Bachelor.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of working on it.
We just need to put our data in somewhere.
Yeah, we need to make a GPT, OpenAI. We can do this now. I've been working on it.
Clues, look, the corners are getting out of control.
Yeah.
But like, I know that at this point, I can't stop you. So good luck.
Thank you. I mean, I do have to see how they're using AI in this. My guess is they're using ChatGPT and just kind of allowing it, probably uploading transcripts. I don't know. Like, is it in real time?
Like, is it a spawn con for a specific type of AI?
It may be. I could see that being the case. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the AI is, and I don't know how transparent they're going to be about, you know, the mechanics behind how they're doing it. There's a part of me that thinks it's probably fake.
Is it that part of you that made a fake AI? Possibly.
Possibly. I just don't know, like, you can have an AI right now that can respond in virtually real time in a conversation with someone else, and it can respond audibly. You can make that.
Mm-hmm. They don't even use voices on the circle, right?
Don't they? I think they can hear each other. I'm not sure. I have to watch it. All I know is an AI, in quotes, player is on this season. And then what do they do if that AI player wins the season?
Right? Maybe it goes to a donation or something.
No idea.
Like, I'm wondering also.
It just seems like a gimmick to me.
It does seem like a gimmick. But if it is real, it kind of opens up the possibility that you could play, you could have like a online game of the circle and people could play against AIs.
Absolutely. That's called a video game. We have many of them.
There's a video game of the circle?
No, but I mean, there was like a video game of The Bachelor. Remember that? That little DS game that we were talking about? To me is like, whatever. Certainly you can do that. And if you have fans of the circle that want to play against an AI online, fine. I'm more interested in how is an AI going to be absorbed into or used as part of the mechanics of the actual show we're watching on Netflix? And at what point does it get to the point where we're like, wait a minute, now it's just 10 AIs playing against each other. Why am I watching this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it gets there ever.
Does it get to that point? Like, are people going to be interested in characters that are AI?
I don't think, I mean, it's really about, can you tell it's an AI or not? In this case, they're advertising, mm-hmm. This is an AI, ha ha ha, look at these human players playing against an AI, and they don't even know it. That's like the conceit mm-hmm. of this. But in the future, I mean, mark my words.
A prank. And we've seen it on Jeopardy, people versus the computer.
They got demolished. That was IBM's Watson. Watson swept the floor with them.
Mm.
But what we're looking at in terms of how AI is going to affect reality television, specifically in terms of can you have an AI player in these types of games? The Circle? Yes, you can. Love is Blind? Yes, you can. You could put an AI on the other side of that wall.
Some of these walls have AI behind them. Some of them are real people and you don't know which.
Exactly.
That's a great dating show.
I agree. Bachelor, it would be harder to do.
What if you learn that your fiance is an AI?
I mean, depends on what kind of mindset you have, I guess. Maybe you still marry the AI.
Yeah.
I know that seems far-fetched or insane.
No, it doesn't.
But people are already marrying holograms and shit.
I think you should be allowed to marry a hologram. Do whatever you want with your one life.
I agree. And I also think that people will be genuinely falling in love with AI very soon.
Like her.
Yeah. Her is basically maybe 5 years away, maybe not even. And then eventually.
Oh my God. We're 5 years away from her?
Probably not even. That's what I'm saying. There's a device coming out that I have pre-ordered called the Rabbit R1. That is basically the little.
Oh, I have that one.
You have it?
No, I'm just making a joke.
Oh.
Because it sounds like a vibrator.
Oh, I see. This is not a vibrator. This basically is a device that is just like that little device Joaquin Phoenix had that he puts in his pocket, like kind of a version of a cell phone-ish. You know what I mean?
Is it always recording video? Is that what it did? I don't.
Not always, no. But I'm sure you could set it to do that. But in terms of how AI technology is going to be absorbed into reality shows, specifically, let's talk about The Bachelor here. These are my thoughts on it. I don't know that we're going to see an AI player because I don't really know how you do that. Unless we get to a point where you have like pretty humanoid looking robots, which if you saw that Boston Dynamics video yesterday, their new robot.
No.
We're getting there. I'll just say we're definitely getting there.
It looks like a real person?
No, I mean, it looks like a robot, but it's humanoid and it is fully decabled. It can just walk around and do shit by itself.
You know who could be a humanoid robot is the Dark Lord. They already kind of have this on Too Hot to Handle.
Mm-hmm.
The host is like a little cone, like Google Home type thing.
Yeah. It's like, did you ever see an old TV show called Out of This World?
Mm-mm.
There were two shows when I was a kid. This is like in the, I want to say late 80s, early 90s. They were straight to syndication. One was called Small Wonder, Did you ever see this show?
No.
This was about a scientist who builds a robot little girl named Vicky, and she was always getting into trouble and he'd have to repair her and all this stuff. And that was kind of like a sci-fi comedy. I think by the same production company, there was another one called Out of This World that was about a girl named Evie who could put her fingers together like this and stop time because she was half alien. And she talked to her dad, who was full alien, in a little cube like that thing on Too Hot to Handle. Or a little pyramid, maybe it was. Anyway, neither here nor there. Thank you.
I love 1900s clues.
I can't help it. That's when I'm from.
That's when I'm from.
I do think you're going to see massive influx of AI technology in the post-production area of all reality TV shows, but definitely Bachelor. You're going to get to a point where they can literally take a person's, the video of the person, whatever they did or said in that moment, and just type in new dialogue, and that person will say it on camera. You won't need to Frankenbite anything, and they're going to do that.
Right. They'll just make the Frankenbites. Well, won't they have to change the contracts to be like,
no,
your likeness times 1,000?
That's already the contract. We can use your footage in any way we see fit. That's already the contract. They would have to get, players would have to get them to change the contract to lessen their power in the near future, yeah, if they wanted to avoid this.
I feel like that unionization play is definitely required, because if you're going to get all death threats for things that you didn't say that weren't even spliced together, they're just made up.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's another level.
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, because what I really want to do is make reality shows using AI with no actual humans. Create characters, put them in a reality context, and then just script the whole thing.
The seasons that we never got.
Well, I mean, these would be brand new ideas, brand new concepts for reality shows with people that don't actually exist. But yes, you could do that too.
The smoothie.
The smoothie could be one of them. Who's your daddy? But you could do what you're suggesting as well. You could go back in time and say, you know, what if we had a Peter Krause Bachelor? What if, you know, Hannah Sluss and Madison Pruitt would have come to paradise? What if Madison Pruitt would have been a bachelorette?
Oh, you're exploding my head.
Yeah, you could go back and make all of these. You can make whatever you want in the very near future with all of this. It'll be very easy to do.
I mean, you just showed me how to use the, what's the audio one? Audio? What it has done, it is incredible. Like what it's able to do.
It's basically the same thing that is happening in a lot of like graphic arts arenas, I'll say. You're seeing more and more people using AI to make just little like title cards or whatever. And there is some backlash still happening now. That'll be gone within 5 or 6 years because it'll just be the industry standard. The same is now going to be true of small kind of musical things that you might need, commercial jingles, little like audio bumpers, things of that nature. Those are all going to be AI.
Dog food jingles?
I would imagine all AI, because one person can sit down on Udio and turn out 100 versions of this thing and just pick the one they like.
Yeah.
In maybe 20 minutes.
Jingles are done. Jingles are for sure done.
Jingles and any kind of short audio format thing, I think, are completely done, unless they're prestige type things. Like, oh, I had Taylor Swift do the theme song to my late night talk show or whatever, you know. Like, I think...
I bet we'll be able to do that on Udio soon.
What's that?
Just make it as if Taylor Swift was singing our theme song.
Well, the next layer of that, I think, is licensing. So Taylor Swift will say like, yeah, you can use my voice to make a song. It'll cost you, you know, 50 cents per time you re-roll the audio. And if you upload this anywhere and make money, I get 50% of it. I think that's probably going to be the new model going forward. But as it is right now, you can't, like, you can't really use Taylor Swift's, in quotes, voice, but also you can't copyright the sound of a voice. So if you made something that sounded just like Taylor Swift, as long as you're not saying this is Taylor Swift, you're fine. There was a very famous voice likeness case back in the 80s with Bette Midler. Taco Bell asked her to sing the jingle for this commercial. She said no. So they went out and they got someone who sounded just like her to sing it, but they didn't say this is Bette Midler. They just released the thing. She sued them and lost. Because you cannot copyright the sound of a voice. obviously, that would lead to a lot of huge problems with people who just kind of sound like each other, or Saturday Night Live, right. You want to do an impersonation of somebody? Sorry, we'll sue you. So that obviously can never happen. But this is a whole different thing.
I don't know how those laws are going to all keep up with this stuff.
They're not. I mean, the simple thing is this, I think. In terms of like copyright laws, I don't know how we got on this. This is not about AI in reality TV now, but it's kind of how AI is affecting copyright law. I think it's going to be very difficult to enforce. And it's not even just because of AI. Like, look at what the internet has done. How many memes, how many GIFs exist that use copywritten footage or images from TV shows and movies and whatever.
The Office characters.
Exactly. You just can't sue everybody for a little 5-second thing. And I think that's kind of where it's moving out of 5-second things, and it's into a broader world now of AI can help you kind of mimic all this stuff. And that's just what the internet's going to be.
Yeah, but is there going to be revenge porn that's just me, like, slightly altered, though?
I mean, that's been around since Photoshop existed. That's already been happening for 30 years.
I hate it.
And there are laws against that, of making, like, defamatory stuff of people.
But what if it just looks like them and you don't say it's them?
Then I think legally it's passable. I'm not sure. I mean, it gets into some gray area. But in terms of reality TV, where we're talking about image manipulation, audio manipulation, I think it's going to be rampant in every show, because it's just going to start like this. You're going to have two producers sitting in an editing room, and they're going to be like, God damn it, I wish she just would have said this. And then the editor's going to be like, okay, click, 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 enter, and she'll say it. And it will look exactly like she said it, coming directly out of her mouth. And then they're going to be like, oh shit, this is pretty good. Let's just do the whole season like this.
I mean, that'll definitely help with like a lot of transition phrases, or like, say that back to me, but they don't get it exactly right. I'm looking at this People magazine article. It says the entire Max character, from his name and age to his defining trait as a dog dad, are all created by artificial intelligence.
That's the Circle guy?
On the Circle.
Okay.
So it premiered on Wednesday, and the first four episodes introduce the first AI player, Max, a 26-year-old single man and dog dad who is committed to playing the game with authenticity and kindness. However, that authenticity is a person who isn't really human.
Interesting. I applaud them for doing this, for bringing AI straight into the mix like this. It is the first reality show that I'm aware of that has like an AI player. Historic in some ways. I think it will be remembered as that.
Oh, they tell them. They tell them which player is AI. Or they say there's an AI player.
Oh, so everybody knows.
No, but they don't know who it is. And Max's name rarely comes up in conversation, this says. Sorry for the spoilers.
I bet. This is, you know, the Turing test basically has been in place for a long time. Once artificial intelligence and kind of thinking machines even started becoming a slight possibility. I believe Alan Turing, who's a mathematician, came up with this test that's basically designed to decipher if this AI or machine can pass as human. So I assume Max can then.
I mean, this says executive producer Niall O'Driscoll said, we very much left it up to the AI as to who they wanted to play as. We used an AI system and we just began by asking it, if you were going to play the Circle, create a profile for the person. And it did that. Like we would with any of the other players, we interviewed it and asked it questions about, why'd you choose this name, this age, what's your strategy, tell us about your family.
So it sounds like they used ChatGPT, in my opinion, which is anyone could have done this. You know, for $20 a month, you too can create a player for the Circle by just asking it a series of questions. But I want it to be like that they can talk to it and stuff, which maybe they did set that up. I'm not sure. Like I said, I have to watch it, and I will be watching at least that first episode in Clue's Corner.
God, maybe I have to try again.
Seems like this is a good time to jump in, but that's our state of the game. We got our first AI player in the history of reality TV. Certainly won't be the last. And I think in the next couple of years, we're just going to see the floodgates opened on especially AI video editing. There were some things coming out, like Adobe Premiere is a big video editing software. They just announced that they are integrating OpenAI's Sora, Runway's Gen 2 model, all of these text-to-video models, so that you can do things like, if you have a clip and you need like 2 more seconds of that clip to fill some kind of space, you just drag the bar 2 seconds, hit enter, and it just gives you new footage to extend that clip, things of that nature.
That's awesome. We should do that with Game of Roses. Just the tag is just added on by AI.
Well, I mean, I'm using AI to make some of the songs on our YouTube versions. Again, if you haven't checked out the YouTube, go to it. It is different than the audio version.
The How to Save Paradise one was my favorite.
Oh, glad you liked it.
That jingle.
Yeah. But that technology I was talking about where you can just type in new text and the person will say it, that does exist. I'm not making this up. That's an Avid software bundle. I don't know if it's available to the general public, but I've seen a lot of videos on them basically showing how it's used. And it's that's tip of the iceberg. You can drag performances from one take onto another take, and that performance is now in this take. It's really wild what people can do. So if you...
That's awesome.
Yes, I agree. But if you don't trust the edits already in reality TV, just wait, because it's going to be imperceptible. Like now there's still telltale signs of a Frankenbite, or you can kind of hear the audios screwed up or whatever. That's gone. Mm-hmm.
It sounds different.
It will be perfect.
Wow. That's scary.
Yeah. But I love it.
Interesting.
Indeed.
We live in interesting times, Clues.
Yes, we do.
Well, I guess I'll have to watch your first corner on the Circle premiere.
Yeah. I'll probably get that out sometime this weekend. But that's it. That's State of the Game. We got AI, an AI player now on the Circle, on one of the big shows on Netflix. Who knows where that's going to lead, but we'll be covering it all wherever it goes.
Good luck, Max.
Yeah, good luck to Max. And now we're going to move on to a different portion of our show. Usually this is gains, but we have no gains to speak of this week. So instead, we are going to be asking one another.
What are you watching?
What are you watching?
I'm watching you watch Traitor season one. I'm watching that. I'm watching for HBO Lax, I'm watching Shogun and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which are both excellent.
I've been watching Shogun too. I'm on episode 4, I think.
It's so Game of Thronesy.
I know.
It's excellent. Great.
The only thing I don't like about it, honestly, is the casting of the lead guy.
Hmm. Disagree.
The barbarian, the captain, Anjin.
Did you... You got to the diving scene, right?
Yep.
You still feel that way? Interesting. Okay.
How was that supposed to change my mind? Oh, I get what you're saying.
Because
he was shirtless. It was sexy. It's just some guy freezing in like dirty rags for underwear diving into the ocean. Super sexy. Super hot.
Well, hot take from Clues. The hot guy's not hot.
I mean, whatever. It's whatever's up your alley is up your alley. You like dirty underwear? That's fine.
I think the casting is mostly good. I think Torunaga's son is the only weak casting. We keep giving him our Nepo Baby Award.
Yeah. No, it's a great show, though. I agree.
It is great and visually stunning. And yes. Yeah, the storyline has been shocking me. There's a lot of suicide in the show. A lot of discussion of it and it happening. Just as a trigger warning. I'm also watching, speaking of violent shows, Fallout.
Yes.
You told me to watch this, so I know you're watching it already.
Did you get through season one?
No, not all the way.
Oh, I did.
I'm maybe 5 episodes in.
Yeah. I highly recommend Fallout to anyone and everyone. It is so well done. And it's a video game show, first of all. And there was another video game show that came out, God, a couple of years ago now, or last year maybe, The Last of Us on HBO. I know you guys covered that.
It's very Last of Us. Yes.
Yeah, another post-apocalyptic. But the thing that it does so well, I'm a huge fan of the Fallout video game franchise.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that that show does so well is it nails the look of the game without changing too much and trying to like update it or make it cooler. It's like they just live in exactly the aesthetic of this game that it's so good.
The aesthetic is so wild. I love it. It's basically if in the 1950s technology increased crazily and there was a nuclear war.
Yeah.
So it's got these kind of 1950s-esque stuff mixed with, you know, very futuristic things, mixed with very, like, primitive things. And the lead is this woman who was in Yellow Jackets, who's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I'm watching is Sex Education. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a teen drama series on Netflix. It's very cute.
I think I watched that. Is it kind of older, that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got like 6 seasons or something.
Does it have X-Files in it?
X-Files?
Is she the mom? The woman from the X-Files? Jillian, I forget her name.
Is that her? She plays the mom?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I didn't recognize her. Whoa. She's great. It's about a kid whose mom is a sex therapist.
Yeah, I think that's her.
And they kind of deal with like different sexual issues every week.
Have you been to the movies recently?
I saw Dune 2 twice.
Oh my God. You must have really liked it.
I loved it.
All right. I bought Dune playing cards.
I'm Dune too much because you're Dune too little. I loved that meme of Phaedra.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I have seen Dune 2 once.
Wait, you have Dune playing cards?
Yeah, I bought them at the movie theater when I went this few days ago. I went to go see something called Civil War. Have you seen this?
Wait, I thought that was a show. That's a movie?
It's a movie. It's an A24 movie.
No, I haven't seen it. Is it good?
Here's my review of it.
Sounds like no.
My full answer is no. It is not good.
Roasted.
I think that the action scenes are great. And yes, there are a couple of haunting images coming out of this, like a crashed helicopter in the parking lot of a shopping mall type things, you know? It's about the American Civil War, a new one, if it were to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason ever given why the Civil War is being fought. It's only vaguely alluded to who the sides are and that the president is in a third term. So it's a kind of allusion to like an authoritarian president who is...
Yeah, like just stayed.
Yeah, but there's no... You don't know what is going on ever. The main characters are photojournalists traveling to Washington, D.C. to get like the final pictures of the president as... the, in quotes, Western forces are about to come into Washington and take him out. So it's Kirsten Dunst and these three other journalists are like going into the heart of DC. And they paint these photojournalists as like the heroes of democracy, the heroes of this whole thing. And I'm just like, I don't know what country this is supposed to be taking place in. I know it says the United States, but like journalism in the United States, in my opinion, is in the toilet. I would say they are not the heroes of our story. In fact, they're making the situation worse, in my opinion. So I thought it was an interesting choice.
I mean, I'm very curious as how you do that. I mean, I saw one poster, which was a kind of war little boat in Echo Park Lake attacking what looks to be a giant swan, like a giant swan boat. And I'm like, why? Echo Park Lake is tiny. Why would you ever... need to be warring across it. It doesn't make any sense.
Those images, by the way, were generated with AI, the ones you're talking about, those promotional
really?
Images.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they're very good. They're very beautiful images, but that made me laugh a lot, like as if it was like George Washington crossing the Delaware or something.
I remember I wrote a movie that never went anywhere. This would have been like 2 or 3 months after the election in 2016, and it was called Civilians.
I remember this.
And the idea for that movie was like, it was five suburban kind of friends on election night, basically as a kind of third term president wins uncontested.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are protests pop off in every major U.S. city. And then that president issues martial law and starts killing civilians. And so these five friends have to escape from kind of like suburban Los Angeles up to a cabin in Big Bear where they're just going to kind of ride it out because the civil war erupts immediately. That to me was a better handling of this in that it really is dealing with like how media gets manipulated, what side are you on, how the military fractures, all this kind of stuff. This movie to me, Civil War.
How do you even identify who are the enemies?
Well, that, I mean, this movie does a bad job of that too. There are these vague references of like, we don't even know who we're fighting for or why we're fighting. And it's like, but it's a civil war. Don't you have to know that? Like, how did this happen? You know, there was no, I don't know. Hmm. I just left it feeling like empty. I want to leave a movie about an American modern Civil War feeling like, oh, making me think about something. This is a cautionary tale, or here's mm-hmm. how to avoid this, or why we don't want this. None of that was present in it, in my opinion. I know it's doing very well. It's very successful.
It's present in Fallout, I would say.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw it. I'm glad to have seen it. I just thought that it was kind of like weakly done. There's some super cringe moments in it that you're just like, oh God, okay. This ain't it, dude. But overall, visually, very good. The all of the different shots of like helicopters flying over DC and stuff, those are great. And like I said, the action sequences I thought were great. Just overall as a movie, it felt more like this should have been a 10-minute YouTube short, in my opinion.
I would have liked it as a...
There wasn't a lot of character work.
HBO Max series. I thought they were doing a Civil War show. Maybe that's a different one.
No, they were, but it got scrapped. Those were the guys who did Game of Thrones were going to do it. And then it got scrapped because there was online backlash. Anyway, that's what we're watching. And we'll probably keep this segment up through the rest of the off season unless there are any big gains to discuss. But let's move on, shall we, Pace Case, and talk about all those tids that are fit to...
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick, too, which I use. A lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire, they don't have bulky fabrics, and they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch, so it's like doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you right now. You can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Print.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation News, the nation has a new love stain cop on patrol. I had to do
this. This is one of my favorite quotes from the week.
Me too. It's so absurd. The greatest male Instagram player of all time and the guy who personally invited us to his launch party, Tyler Cameron.
Mm-hmm, probably.
Is it just focused on his new extra bachelor endeavors with his Amazon show Coming Home premiering this week? I think today, actually, or tonight it premieres as we're recording this on Thursday. He's also focusing on rendering his opinions about the Golden Divorce. While on a recent visit to SiriusXM's Happy Hour podcast, Tyler Cameron said of Gary and Teresa, 3 months? They make all my relationships seem very long. You know what I mean? Like, golly, I'm a dating expert compared to them.
I mean, I would argue he is a dating expert. He's probably dated more than anyone.
Gary Turner is 73 years old. He's got
double
the time on this earth of Tyler Cameron.
And if you believe Nick Viall's podcast, Gary's dated twice that amount.
Yeah, exactly.
The bedimpled steak tower downer went on to say they put a stain on love and Bachelor Nation because it was the most wholesome. Like, it brought so much joy back to the Bachelor of not this, like, people wanting to just go on to be influencers that, like, brought, like, joy and true love, and then they just pulled the rug right out from under us.
Is Cameron's stain assessment correct, or is this more of a minor blemish? And if it is a stain, can it be cleansed by the detergent of the Golden Bachelorette, which is now casting? Time will tell. Can we just quickly...
Beautiful writing.
Thank you. Can we weigh in on this? Do you think this is a stain?
No.
Absolutely not.
Is it a stain? Then, like, there's 22 stains on Bachelor. Like,
yeah,
no one cares.
I mean, it's beyond not a stain to me. This was expected. This is a part of the formula. This is sewn into the garment.
I don't think it was expected. Well, I guess we did a poll and it was about 50-50. Yeah. I didn't expect it, especially so soon. The soonness is more of an argument for a stain on love. Absolutely. But
if anything, to me, it's a stain on the show, a stain on the producers, who I do think forced them into this, or at least rushed them into it. You know, I don't think if they would have had their way, I don't think they would have been married live on TV in January, whatever it was, you know,
right,
a couple of months after the end of that season airing. I think they would have been like, no, let's just stay engaged and see if this can work out. But instead, ABC was like, no, get on TV. We're marrying you now.
Right. You think it was their fault? I mean, who knows? I've had people asking me to explain the Golden Divorce as if it's two of my close friends and I know the intricate details. I'm like, well, yeah. If I were to guess, I would guess location.
It's nice.
But I don't know.
You're not stirring up salacious rumors?
I don't know shit.
Well, I heard she doesn't like motorcycles and he wants to ride his motorcycle everywhere.
She can't stand when he flips his coin and drives wherever the wind takes him.
God, I know.
And he hates duck face, it turns out. My only Teresa fact.
I am curious to see, you know, how this will shake out in terms of their identities within the nation. We talked a little bit about this last week. Are they ever going to be invited back to an official Bachelor Nation function? Will they be on any other seasons of any other shows? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Do you want to hide your stains or do you want to highlight them?
I think you want to highlight them. If I was them, I would have at least Teresa come on Golden Bachelorette and be like, look, it didn't work out for me, but...
But I fell in love.
Here's the lessons I learned. Yeah, I fell in love and maybe like... Here's what to look out for.
I don't know. I'm hoping nothing bad else comes out.
I mean, do you want me to make another prediction?
I don't know. Just the speediness of it. What?
Something bad's coming out.
Something bad?
Yeah.
No, but they were holding hands.
Something bad's coming out. I think maybe about Gary. This is all conjecture. Damn, dude. It's just tea leaves type shit. Something in the breeze, you know, but...
Yet again, I refuse to believe you and statistics.
All right. Well, moving on. Up next in Bachelor Nation news, a seemingly credible rumor of what looks to be another disintegration of a Bachelor Nation power couple has surfaced. Less than a week after Gary Turner and Teresa Ennis stained our beloved nation, news has emerged that Greg Grippo and Victoria Fuller left a stain of their very own.
Oh, God. Plenty of members of the fourth audience have noticed that Grippo and Fuller are no longer following one another on Instagram and have not posted a joint photo since December 2023. That's 4 months ago. Neither Fuller nor Grippo have publicly confirmed where they stand, but Page Six reports that they quietly split months ago. Where's their holding hand interview?
I know. I need to see them on Good Morning America with Victoria Fuller kissing Greg Grippo's hands and assuring us that they still love each other.
Ciao for now, but not... Arrivederci, new tattoo. Wait, what's good night? Buonanotte.
I don't know if this means Griptoria is dead for all time or if it's just a little bump in the road, but let's assume that they are really actually broken up. Let's assume that that's real. Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Let's assume it's a stain.
Okay. Is it a stain, though? If they broke up, is that a stain?
No, she broke up with Chris Soules. That's not a stain.
That's true.
That's a beautiful fact.
Yeah. The stain there was more that she dated him in the first place, that she spent even 24 hours at his home is a stain.
He was a bachelor. For some, he was the model bachelor.
You don't think some bachelors left stains? Other than Gary Turner, I mean? Juan Pablo didn't stain?
Dang. Juan Pablo stained.
Juan Pablo was the first stain, maybe.
Yeah. First bachelor stain.
He was the original stain.
I mean, the first bachelor stain I can remember is Bentley on Ashley Hebert's season. Mm.
Or maybe I would go Brad Womack, maybe was the original stain, season 11.
Mm.
Where he kind of rejected the whole process at the end, denying both finalists.
That's fair.
A final rose.
And then they shit on him in the limo exits of the second round.
Yeah.
Including his runner-up slapped him in the face on her limo exit and said, this is from women over all over America. Mm-hmm.
And they made him have a therapist on that season that he had to confer with in almost every episode.
I wish they would bring that back. I think therapy in general, by the way, if you want your couples to stay together, give them a couples therapist.
I'm sure they did that with Gary and Teresa.
Gave them a couples therapist?
I'm sure they did everything possible to keep them together because they need to. It's money at this point.
Hmm.
Anyways, moving on. Up next in Bachelor Nation news. As the life of some relationships comes to an end, a new life is born. Bachelor Season 26 supervillain and BIP Season 8 survivor Shanae Ankeny has produced a civilian hybrid child with her boyfriend, Super Bowl ring winner Nate Ebner. I think he's won two or three with the Patriots.
Nice. Shanae took to Instagram to announce the arrival of the couple's daughter with some cute photos of the new human, along with the caption, Maven Jane, 4/11/2024. You were worth the wait, my sweet girl.
The nation turned out in the comments with congratulatory statements from Jungle Path enthusiast Genevieve Parisi, Split Week exemptress Danielle Maltby, Bachelor Live on Stage dancer Jill Chin, and the once rumored package deal bachelor Michael Alio. Congrats to Shanae and her boyfriend on ushering in this new Bachelor NFL hybrid.
I love this pairing. A tale as old as time.
It truly is.
Since Jesse Palmer's season when everyone wanted to marry him. And that, what was the hometown date where the person was in the pageants? And they were like, hopefully she wins this one.
That was Texas. I want to say that was Mandy J. Jeffries.
Yes. And in Bachelor Nation News Relationship Roundup, Bachelor Season 26 16th place finisher Melina Nassab got engaged to civilian tech executive Max Keefe this week. Nassab shared photos from their proposal moment. And joining Melina Nassab on the Engagement Club is fellow citizen of the nation, Bachelor Season 23 11th placer and BIP Season 6 survivor Onyeka Ehi. Onyeka also found love with a civilian, this one named Martin Fredsgaard Anderson. And she also took to Instagram to share the exciting news alongside photos of her new sparkler.
I mean, congrats, congrats, congrats. They're civilians. Mm-hmm.
Civilians. I mean, someone's got to marry him.
But not bachelor players.
I hope everyone finds love, with or without.
I do too. I wish nothing but happiness for everyone who is born into this world unasked for. You know, we all wind up on this planet in one way or another. And of course, everyone should be happy. But
you know, I said that to my dad. I was like, well, you know, I didn't choose to be here. And he gave me a very withering look.
Interesting. My dad threatens to kill me on a weekly basis.
That's withering as well.
It is.
What do you mean by threatens to kill you?
Like, his catchphrases are things like, pretty soon the metal's gonna hit the meat, you'll see. And if you stand in my way, I might have to take you out myself. He'll say things like that.
I mean, I feel like in the movie Civil War, it's just like, it's too hard to figure out how to do.
Yeah. Oh no, my dad will never leave his home. He just likes to be blustery. Anyway, wrapping up Bachelor Nation news, we want to wish big happy birthdays to Bachelor Season 28 ring winner Kelsey Anderson, who turned 26 on the 17th, and Deanie Babies Unglert, who shares that same birthday. And he started his 34th trip around our dying star on that same day. Happy birthday to both of these superstars from within the nation. And now, let's move on to discussing all those plays that our favorite players are making off the field and on their telephones. This is
the Parasocial play of the week.
It's dusty out here in the off season, but it's even dustier this week because it's Coachella week one. This starts the very important festival circuit of 2 weeks of Coachella and then Stagecoach. But the Bachelor players were not turning out. Coachella posts in the numbers that we would usually expect. Maybe everyone's going week two, where Coachella has lost its hold on the influencers. Hmm. Is Stagecoach the new Coachella? Time will tell.
Wait, is this true? Okay, hang on. I just need to know some things. I'm so confused by this. I thought Coachella was one weekend. I thought everybody was back from Coachella.
Well, from weekend one.
Okay, so then
weekend two is this weekend.
Starting, we're recording this on Thursday, so in 2 days or whatever, or maybe even tomorrow. It starts Friday.
It might have already happened when you're listening.
Oh, wow. Okay. But there weren't a lot of Bachelor posts from it.
No.
Wow.
Shocking.
Interesting.
Shocking. Maybe I just didn't see them, or I mean, there were, I mean, we'll get to it.
Okay.
There were a few.
Okay. We did see a few noteworthy posts, though. Oh, I see it. The next line. Katie Thurston posed in a colorful tot, posed on a mudden truck for Celsius on Instagram.
Clues is great one, and slow judgment doler out. Nick Vial posed in a cowboy tot for Patron on Instagram.
Well, did you see? I made a little video of the Vial files that they did live from Coachella that was sponsored by Patron. where his hands were going crazy. He was like rubbing on his mic and rubbing on his chest.
That was at Coachella? That makes so much more sense.
Maybe had some medicine, I think.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, your focus on it made me worried, though, because doing a video podcast is hard. You learn about all these tics that you have that you didn't know about. Anyway, Gore Girl Susie Evans made an incredible thought-changing time-lapse video for Zenny and a reel with the Glazeman, Justin Glaze, on the Ferris wheel. Mm. Cute.
However, the interwebs were sparse with the colorful parasocial fanfare we've come to expect. We did, however, see a whole bunch of posts regarding the Golden Divorce from parties involved, as well as Dark Lord Palmer, as well as some outspoken Golden players.
Golden Happy Hour hosts Kathy and Susan made a Zoom video reel discussing the event, or what Tyler Cameron called a stain on love, to their main Instagram grids.
The stain. I can't believe he's given us so much. A moment for Tyler Cameron. Thank you, Tyler Cameron, for...
Yeah, thank you, Tyler Cameron.
Enemy of shirts.
Hashtag pay Tyler Cameron $1 million to be The Bachelor.
God, for real. Let him host his own season. I'd love it.
Yeah, he hosts his own season. Let him and an AI host the season as a duo.
Please. Teresa Ness made a main grid Instagram post to commemorate the divorce. The post is simply a square with text on it that says, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Dr. Seuss."
This post got 16.3K likes, 1.7K comments, including one very important comment. Our parasocial player of the week goes to life coach April Lynn Kirkwood. She was asking for chaos this week. On Golden Bachelor's ring winner Teresa Ness IG breakup post, April Kirkwood posted this comment. "I wish you the very best. I truly tried to tell you, but this was your lesson to experience. Much love. Heart emoji." It's giving big wild card energy. She made a follow-up comment after a backlash to the comment. "I would like to publicly apologize for my error in judgment. I sincerely meant no ill will. I wish all women only peace and power to be their best selves. This was not one for me. Crying emoji. Much love and gratitude for understanding. Always, April."
This is everything we hope for in our first Golden off season. The messiness of Bachelor combined with the messiness of Golden's using the internet. It's giving a hint of Tino's dad, gentleman's 5'6" Facebook post. So we hope to see more of the Golden players using the internet freely and loosely in the future. Can I just ask you, what the hell is she talking about? "I wish you the very, very, very best. I truly tried to tell you, but this was your lesson to experience." What did she tell her?
A warning? I don't know.
Yes. That is what this implies to me.
We got to get her on.
That April Lynn Kirkwood was basically like, "Gary's a dirty dog. Don't say yes." That's what that implies to me.
It does imply that. I think that's the certain implication. And I want to know more, but I feel like we're not going to. I don't know.
April Lynn Kirkwood self-eliminated too, right? Wasn't she the player who was like, "I got to get back for my daughter"?
No, that was Joan.
Oh, right.
April was the kind of princessy IFI on the tennis court player.
Well,
pickleball.
We'll get to the bottom of this at some point. But right now, we got to get to the bottom of something else. The pit. This next section is Pace Case and I dropping deep into the bottom of the pit to issue forth our screams about how our interactions with our lifestyle regarding The Bachelor. I don't know what you want to call it at this point.
It's about our lifestyle. We're screaming about our lifestyle.
Pretty much.
Like vegans.
I don't scream about my vegan lifestyle, do I? Not too much. Hopefully. But I do scream about this lifestyle. This is
Screams from the pit.
My scream this week is... My scream this week is a purchase that I made in service of the pit / our lifestyle. We've been upgrading our recording to start doing video.
Yes.
We're still recording remotely and via, we're not in the same room together, but you know, we got cameras. I'm trying to make my background look nicer. Sure. And for that reason, I bought a green screen, and Here it is, ready to go. Not ready for this episode, but next one.
Nice.
And this is my scream this week because I feel like getting a green screen and like putting it up in the middle of my living room, really just saying, this is no longer a living room. This is my studio and it'll look wild. It's my scream because it's taking over. It's encroaching more and more of my physical space in my apartment.
Yeah. The pit is starting to claim your living area.
Yeah.
I certainly have had that feeling. I don't know if you remember when we used to do our demonic rituals before every episode using my...
No, I don't remember that.
Using my living room table that I would clear off and we'd put candles on it and read the names of our fallen players. Yeah, it's a pretty good scream. I mean, I feel that one, certainly. My living area also is now at this point overrun with bachelor and bachelor adjacent items.
Mm-hmm.
But where your scream dealt with a purchase...
And you've got all that artwork.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of artwork at this point. Where your scream dealt with a purchase, mine deals with a failed purchase, you see. This past week, there was an auction for charity. The charity was the Scotland National Fund or something. It was some Scottish charity. Many Scottish celebrities and people who are involved with this charity put items in this auction that you could bid on to win. There was an item that I was watching very closely. There was an item that I was prepared to pay $1,500 for, and I did not get it.
Whatever it is, I know it's bad.
I was outbid on the item.
More than, what was it?
The item's final bid, I think, was $4,700, I think. I could be wrong about this. For some reason, that number's in my mind. I kind of stopped watching it once my limit was surpassed. The item was the black and gold jacket worn by Dark Lord Cumming in the penultimate episode of Traitors Season 2. I wanted it so bad. And I was watching this auction literally like a hawk it was up for 6 days that I became aware of it. And I was just watching it. I had in my max bid, all of that. I was winning it up until like an hour before the auction ended. And then it just was like, and it went too high. And I was like, shit, should I do this? How bad am I going to regret not having this 30 years from now, if I'm alive then? But I let it go. I had to let it go.
I mean, I'm glad you set a limit. Clues, yeah. I, as someone who doesn't seem to be that into fashion, except for one brief period for the ball.
Yeah.
Have you ever bought an item of clothing that's $1,500 before?
Yeah. I have some suits that are over that.
Dang.
But never a single item, I don't think. Never a single item.
All right. Big spend. You talking to the guy in the $1,500 suit?
Yeah. But I am sad that I didn't get it, and I will keep an eye out, because I also think it's like, I really think Traitors is going to be the biggest show on the planet very soon. Biggest reality show. And then it's going to be impossible to get anything from that show.
I mean, clearly it already is.
Yeah.
Unreachable.
C'est la vie.
Unreachable price. Not even the finale jacket, the penultimate jacket.
But the sorrow that I experienced at not getting this is...
Well, I'm really sorry about your sorrow and not getting this jacket. I guess I am glad that it exceeded your max by a lot. So it's not like you just missed it.
No, exactly. If I had seen that it went up to just like $1,750 or something, I probably would have put in another bid. But it was like multiple thousands of dollars. And I was just like, I can't
Dang.
Justify it.
Can't compete with the Cumming gang.
I can't. Somebody out there wanted that jacket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's good for that person that they got it, I guess.
No, it's not as good for them as it would have been for
me. They can do whatever they're going to do with it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't know. You're spending so much on a jacket. I don't know. I'm disgusting.
I mean, God made you how he made you. Let's move on to our final scream here. As you know, if you listen to this program, it's not just me and Payscase screaming. Everybody's in the pit is screaming to the high heavens about how this show has affected their life. Today, we're going to play you a scream from the pit. If you want to submit your own screams, all you do is go to patreon.com/gameofroses. Join us on the bottom of the pit. Get on our Discord. And in that Discord, there is a channel called Submit Your Screams or something to this effect. You just upload a 1 minute or shorter audio clip of your scream into that channel. I go through them. We pick the best ones. Here is one today. Are you ready, Pace Case?
Hi, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. I'm submitting the scream because apparently my podcast feed is being taken over by the pit. I literally screamed this morning when I was listening to a different podcast that I have listened to since it launched in 2015, Happier with Gretchen Rubin. I followed the author for a long time. She co-hosts the podcast with her sister, who is in fact a writer in Hollywood and a self-proclaimed member of Bachelor Nation. But Gretchen has never shown any interest at all in The Bachelor or anything around it until today. And today she was recommending a book that her daughter had recommended to her. And before she even named the title, I knew it had to be Yours. She was very impressed with the book and how she felt like she was becoming a minor expert after going through the entire thing. She fully appreciated the vocabulary. And I think you might have been able to drag another podcast host into the pit. I sincerely hope that she joins us. But overall, it was an amazing example of how the pit really can overcome an entire podcast feed. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
I'm going to cry. You know I listen to this podcast. This is my favorite podcast.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Happier with Gretchen Rubin. I've talked about it before because her sister Liz was reading the book at one point, and I was listening to the podcast, and they always say like what they're currently reading. And she said How to Win the Bachelor. I was like, oh my God, she's reading it. And then, but she's super interested in reality TV. For Gretchen to be reading it, that's awesome. That, wow. I mean, this is going to be my scream. Now I'm going to go listen and lose my mind.
Sometimes screams beget screams beget screams.
Can't believe this is how I'm finding out about it.
Yeah. No, it's a fantastic scream.
We should have them on. I don't know how they relate to The Bachelor, but...
Yeah, I'm down. Sounds great.
They're great podcast hosts.
Thank you so much for the scream.
Gretchen and Liz, if you're listening, come on.
We always like hearing everyone's screams. So again, if you want to submit one, just get on our Patreon and fire off that 1 minute or shorter audio clip to us, and we play the best ones here. But that's it. That's this week in Bachelor Nation. As we're slogging through now in the real, real off season, we're in the heart of it. The news is slowing down to a trickle. We got a report on stains.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There are no gains to be had.
We got
to
talk about stains.
Yeah, we just did a whole This Week in Bachelor Nation. The biggest news was Tyler Cameron called Gary Turner a stain. That was
a stain on the nation.
But we'll continue covering everything through every week, whether we're in the off season or not. And we thank you all for joining us. We will be back next Tuesday with another episode for everyone. So stick around for that. And before we go, as always, Pace Case, what is that drawback?
It's been 8,061 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then
creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in... Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, It has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.